Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
So today we are in John chapter 1, 35 through 51. We're just going to, next 3 weeks, building up to Easter. So we got this morning, next Sunday is Palm Sunday already. And then you have Good Friday, that coming Friday. And then we have Easter on the 27th. At the tables, you'll see some invite cards. The one side has the Easter egg hunt for Saturday at 2 o'clock out at Tuxedo. So you heard about that. Then on the front, it has invite for Sunday morning. So on Sunday, we have, on the 27th, we are going to have a sunrise service here at 7 o'clock. We're actually going to, if the weather cooperates, we'll be in the back by the fire pit. So we have a nice kind of little green space back there by the fire pit. How many have been back by the fire pit there? Okay, a few of you. So we'll have the fire pit going, because usually in the early morning, it's kind of cool. And then we'll do a breakfast at 8, and so we're going to have a sign-up sheet next Sunday for if you want to bring muffins, eggs, pancake batter. My thought, I kind of ran it by some of the men already, is that the men make breakfast that morning. Is that okay? Okay, because the men I know are very good cooks, right, Dave? Right? All right. Well, no, we just want to give the ladies a break. Yes. Because you guys do so much. But if you bring muffins, pancake batter, eggs, bacon, right? We have to have bacon. All right. And we have sausage. Okay. All right. So that'll be at 8 o'clock, and then our regular service at 10 o'clock. Still putting that together, but it's possible that we might not do intermission that Sunday because Easter kind of, people are trying to get out the door to get with family and stuff as well. And so we'll maybe just do like a one-hour service by not doing the intermission. And Children's Church would probably run the whole time. Kids would just go straight back, and then we would do the service and just cutting out that intermission would probably allow us to get done in about by 11. So that can get you out the door a little bit faster. So this is for not only for you, but for you to invite somebody. We're going to talk more about that this morning. So we're going to be in John chapter 1, 35 through 51. And so we're going to read this together and then draw some points out of that. So let's look at that. Starting with verse 35, it says, the next day John, what John is this? It is John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist was there, and he said, with two of his disciples. And when they saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Now, John the Baptist, he could have called Jesus something else. In fact, if you go down a little bit further in our reading, he's called the Messiah. But here, John the Baptist says, look, the Lamb of God. Why does he call him the Lamb of God? Yes, so we had communion today, right? And so we read from Isaiah where it talks about that he would be like a lamb. Okay, that goes back to the Old Testament sacrificial system. As the lamb was sacrificed for the sins of the people of Israel, so he would be that ultimate lamb, the sacrifice to take the sin of all people. All right? And so it's interesting that John the Baptist, he has his own ministry. He's baptizing people in the Jordan River, left and right. People are coming to God. But he was to prepare the way for Jesus. That was his role, to prepare the way. And so as Jesus passes by, he says, look, the Lamb of God. John could have said nothing. But he said, hey, take note of this guy. This is the Lamb of God who Scripture talks about. And what did his two disciples do? They said, bye, John. We're following this guy. And just think about it. If you were in John's place, God's giving you a ministry, the crowds are coming to you, and John's ministry was not to build this big following and become great. His ministry was to prepare the way for the Messiah. So once Jesus comes on the scene, John begins passing things off to Jesus, including his disciples. And he begins to fade into the background. Ultimately, you'll find out that he is executed, beheaded, in prison. So Jesus passes by. He says to the disciples, "This is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him, and they said, they followed Jesus. Turning around, they saw them following, and he asked, this is what Jesus says, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus replied, "You will see." And so these men began to follow Jesus, and so they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent the night with him, and it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, okay, so he's one of the disciples, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. We feel that the other disciple was John, who wrote this gospel, okay, who would be one of the apostles. The first thing that Andrew did was to what? What does it say? Verse 41. He found his brother Simon, and he says, "We have found the Messiah, the Christ." And he brought Simon, or who we'll know later as Peter, to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and says, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." So Philip is, we don't know what Philip was doing. Maybe he was mending his nets. I believe several of these guys were fishermen. Okay, and Chris, if you can bring up that map. Most of you have a map like this in the back of your Bible of the area of Israel. This is the Sea of Galilee in the north, Dead Sea in the south. Jerusalem is over here. Okay, that's a key city. But a lot of this takes place, Bethsaida is up here. So three of the disciples are going to be from Bethsaida. Okay, Nazareth is over here. This is where Jesus would grow up after he returns from Egypt. So Bethsaida was on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, and so they're fishermen. Peter, James, and John were all fishermen, all right? And so we don't know what Philip was doing, but Jesus says to him, "Follow me." And so Philip drops all that he's doing and follows Jesus. He was from the town of Bethsaida, verse 44. What does Philip do? Once he meets Jesus, verse 45, Philip found Nathanael. Nathanael, are you here today? I'm glad Philip found you. And he told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth, Philip says, "Can anything good come from there?" Verse 46, "Come and see," Philip said. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. There's no guile. There's no evil in him." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answers, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus says, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, and you shall see even greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray in these few moments that you would take your word, apply it to our heart and to our lives this morning. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. From this account, we find a few principles that can help our church in preparation for Easter, I believe. And so I want to pull those points out here this morning. First of all, it's called the Andrew Principle, point one. The first thing that Andrew did was what? What did he do? The first thing that Andrew did is he went, found his brother, right? Peter. and brought them to Jesus. So the first point is invite others to experience Jesus. Invite others to experience Jesus. When you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the Andrew principle is invite others to also experience Christ in their life as well. Philip likewise does the same thing after meeting Jesus. He finds his friend Nathanael, and he brings him to Jesus. Now, Nathanael was skeptical. He was suspicious. You know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Surely this Jesus must be a false prophet. But after he meets Jesus, he sees for himself. And so Philip's words were, "Come and see." So that's the title of the message today. Come and see. And as they met Jesus, they were convinced that he was the Son of God. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. Now, I want to take a show of hands this morning. How many of you ended up at Radiant Springs Church because somebody invited you? Raise your hand. Wow. At least half, maybe two-thirds, right? Okay. Invited you to Radiant Springs Church. Good deal. Did you raise your hand? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to just do... Who invited you, Kat?
Mary Boyer.
Mary Boyer. Now watch this, folks. Watch this, okay? Mary Boyer, who invited you and Gary?
Mary and Chris.
Mary and Chris Boyer, huh? All right. Bob, who invited you? I did. Yeah, did I? Did you? Yeah, at the Super 8? Super 8. All right. All right. All right. Well, we're gonna watch this. So, Mary Ellen, who invited you?
You.
I did. I did. Yeah, we were working at the bus barn together, weren't we? And Chris says, Mary says, you know, we're kind of looking for a church. And one day, I think Chris came by and we talked, and you showed up one Sunday. And then you invited Boyers. Who invited Kat? Cool. Wow. This is interesting here. There are some people over here that raised their hand. I'm going to have to find out. Who invited you?
Shirley Forbes.
Shirley Forbes. I wonder who invited Shirley. Did she come on her own? You, Barb. Okay. You invited Shirley? And you just showed up one Sunday, right? Yeah, God was working on your heart. Grew up in the church when you were a kid. Came back. Myrna, who invited you?
Mary Ellen Boyer.
Oh, wow. So I invited Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen invited you. Who invited you, Linda?
Myrna Stanton.
Oh, look at that. Myrna Stanton. Now, Linda came to me. We had the message 2 weeks ago about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And what did you tell me after the message?
I was lost also after my husband passed away. I wanted nothing to do with the church. I wanted nothing to do with God. I was very angry. And now I have come back.
Because somebody, a friend, invited her to church. Now, did somebody invite you?
All right. Who invited you?
Melanie Mosher.
Melanie Mosher. Yeah, Melanie's not here today, is she?
No.
But she invited you. Isn't that interesting? I saw some hands go up here. Who invited you guys?
Well, actually, Aaliyah was invited by Daniel, and then Aaliyah said, "Mom, let's go," and so then we started going.
Wow. So Daniel invites Aaliyah. Aaliyah says, "Hey," brings the whole family. Pretty cool. Isn't that neat? Tessa, we had a friendship with her and Jeff, and they came to know Christ, and I still remember that Sunday. Isn't that kind of neat? The Andrew principle, that as we find out Christ for ourselves, we invite others. And it's just interesting just to trace all that, isn't it? The point is, invite others to experience Jesus. It's still the most powerful. If you want a church to grow, to be healthy, it comes by people inviting other people. and bringing them to Christ. Amen? Point two is only God knows the potential of those you introduce to Jesus. God only knows the potential of those that you're going to bring to Jesus. And that's the truth. Think about Andrew. He brings his brother Peter, Simon, to Jesus. Now, I don't know. You know, Andrew seems to be the most studious because he's the one that's a follower of John the Baptist, right? We don't know what Peter's doing. I think he's probably taking care of his nets. He's probably still fishing. Andrew seems to be the more inclined to the things of God. But he invites his brother Peter. And who would Peter become in the early church? He would become the key leader, wouldn't he? And it would be Peter that would stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach, and 3,000 people get saved. In fact, some of the Gospels would be a little bit dull without Peter in there, right? Peter's the one that, you know, Jesus says, "Who am I?" And he says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but God did." But then right after that, then Jesus rebukes him because he didn't understand the plans of God. Peter wanted him to be elevated to power, and Jesus says, "You know what? It's not my time." And then you have Peter walking on water, right? That's pretty cool, right? He sinks, right? About ready to go under. Ooh, help, Jesus. Jesus reaches out his hands, rescues him. The first part of Acts is dedicated to the ministry of Peter. And you'll see the things that God did through Peter. But the point is that we never know the potential of the people that we invite to know Christ. I'm going to give a couple other illustrations. How many have heard of Billy Graham? Okay, we've all heard of Billy Graham. He's still living. His wife has passed away. But just here's a little information about Billy Graham. We know about Billy Graham, but how many have heard of Mordecai Ham? Anybody heard of Mordecai Ham? No, I didn't think so. He was the evangelist who was preaching the night that Billy Graham came forward to accept Christ. So we don't know about Mordecai Ham, but we know about Billy Graham. Graham was born November 7th, 1918 in Charlotte, North Carolina. He was the first of four children raised on a dairy farm in Charlotte. In hindsight, there was little indication that Graham would one day preach the Christian gospel to as many as 215 million people in live audiences. Think about that, 215 million people in 185 countries. And that doesn't include the people that heard him over the radio waves or later on TV, the millions. And see, Mordecai Ham probably just saw there was actually Billy Graham and his friend that came to church, and they didn't want to sit out in the crowd. They actually kind of sat up on the platform, but they were kind of rebellious. And they were, but God got a hold of their heart, and they accepted Christ. And God took this young man, and he became one of the greatest evangelists in our time to preach the gospel and bring people to Christ. We don't know the potential of the person that we invite to Christ and for God to work in their life. How many have heard of D.L. Moody? Anybody heard of D.L. Moody, the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago? D.L. Moody, you've probably heard of him, but you probably haven't heard of his Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball. How many teach on Wednesday nights? Yeah. Some of those kids are pretty honoring stuff, aren't they? Girls and boys, right? You know what? You might have the next D.L. Moody there. Right? You could have the next Billy Graham there. Dwight Moody, he couldn't spell. His grammar was awful. He quit school at the fifth grade. His manners were often brash and crude. He never became an ordained minister, okay? And some of the kids we have coming on Wednesday night fall into that category, folks. Some of them we have to banish, okay? Just because there's discipline issues. D.L. Moody was there. Before his conversion, he was so outraged, he was a shoe salesman. He made one of his customers, an Italian guy, so upset that the guy came at him with a knife, a sword, with the intentions of killing him. he was kind of a teenager on the run. He was desperate for work, and so that's where a family member invited him to Chicago. He worked in the shoe salesman, and he was part of one of the stipulations is he had to go to church at the Congregational Church. He had to go to church with his relative. And the teacher was there, and he realized that D.L. Moody wasn't serving God. And so one day, Edward Kimball went to the shoe store where D.L. Moody worked, and he presented Christ with him, just shared Christ, that he needed to get his life right with Christ. And D.L. Moody considered that, and he committed his life to Christ. And it changed on April 21st, 1855. It's a long time ago. D.L. Moody then, once he had turned his life over to Christ, they wouldn't allow him to be a member just because there again, they didn't trust him. But he was a nervous boy, he had some issues. But later, Moody moved back to Chicago. He wandered the streets to find young boys to bring to his Sunday school class. He had a passion for saving souls and determined to never let a day pass without telling somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Often, he irritated strangers on the street by asking them if they were Christians. But his pointed questioning stirred the consciences of many, and God used this young shoe salesman to become a leading evangelist of his day. Estimates vary, but D.L. Moody is thought to have led as many as 1 million people to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. And it also led to the founding of the Moody Bible Institute. A young man that had a lot of issues, and a teacher, Sunday school teacher, that led him to Christ. See, we don't know the potential of those that we invite and say, come and see what God is doing. Come and experience the grace and the forgiveness that I have found in Christ. And that leads to the third point, is that when you partner with God, you become part of something much bigger than you. And that's the cool thing. That's the cool thing that about even being in ministry. There's only so much that we can do as flesh and blood, human beings. But when we partner with God, you're part of something so much bigger than you. And God's power is at work. I think of Andrew and Peter as they were starting out with Jesus. They realized that he was more than just a prophet or wise teacher. But all of a sudden they got to witness the water being turned to wine. They witnessed the blind being able to see. They witnessed the lame being able to walk. They were able to witness the dead being brought to life, the sick being healed, the possessed being delivered. And that those that were searching for truth were finding hope and they were finding answers. And after the resurrection, these apostles would continue to tell their story to all who would listen. And many would be saved. We know 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. The church is then up to 5,000 later in the book of Acts. And then, you know what? One of the converts that would come along would be kind of an unlikely candidate, wasn't he? He was actually a persecutor of the church. He was killing Christians. What was his name? Paul. Also called Saul. He was an unlikely candidate, but God got a hold of his heart, and he becomes one of the most instrumental missionaries of that early church, taking the gospel to the Gentiles and to the Jews. When we partner with God, we become part of something much bigger than you and I. Amen? How many want to be part of something bigger than just you? Yeah. Amen. I'm going to have the musicians come. Easter will be here in 2 weeks. Easter will be here. It's early this year, isn't it? Fortunately, the weather up to now has been cooperating. For some, it is a glorious truth that impacts every day for them. I think for many of you, when you really look at Easter and what Christ has done for you, it impacts your every day. But for a lot of people, they're a Nathaniel. They're skeptical. They have questions. For some people, they're like a D.L. Moody. They don't know what the truth is. They're just getting in trouble and they may be part of circumstances that is not their fault. the home situation is probably not the best. But who knows if it's the next D.L. Moody, the next Billy Graham, the next Paul. They have questions. And if we can be part of partnering with God, praying about, just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know what? I think God can lead us to people that are searching, that need answers, that need to come and see and taste that the Lord is good. See, that comes back to what Gary read. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? And I believe that if you can bring them, share Christ with them, one way you can say, you know what? I feel uncomfortable about sharing Christ with them. Share the best and bring them to church. We'll share it here. We'll lead them to Christ. And believe that God would work in their hearts and their lives. And you play a key role in that. Just as we illustrated earlier, you all play a key role. There's a lot of you I've invited, but then see, you invited others. And they invited another person. And it keeps going. That's how the church is built. That's how the church grows. That's how the church accomplishes the mission of God. So there's these invite cards. Use them. You can use them as a bookmark or whatever, but there should be some there. We'll print off more if needed. But take a couple. Pray about who God wants you to give them to. And you know, for some people, the sunrise service, that just will strike a tone with them. They say, man, you know what? I invited them to a 10 o'clock service. Mr. might not do it, but being outside by a fire pit, 7 o'clock in the morning, yeah, I'm in, you know? For some people, it's the breakfast, okay? They're just going to come for the bacon, all right? You know what? If they just come for the bacon and God gets a hold of their heart during one of the services, amen, right? Maybe they say, hey, I'm going to come to the 10 o'clock service. And we're going to share Christ at all those. But just pray. And we'll partner together, trust God, see what God can do. I do know that I'm thankful for what God has done in our community and in this area. I look at all the people we have from Wilbur, and that's just amazing how God has, even though we're located here, God's doing a great work in Wilbur and in Crete, in our area. And his work isn't done yet, amen? God still has greater things he wants to do. Amen. Would you stand this morning? We're going to close with that chorus, All Who Are Thirsty, and how many of you know one person that you could invite? Raise your hand. Neighbor, co-worker, one person, student. All right. You got them in your mind? All right. Let's just go to God in prayer. You know that person. You're going to speak it to God and let's agree together. Say, Lord, this morning, you've placed somebody in our heart and in our life that needs to know Christ. And so, Father, this morning, we are bringing that person before you. Father, we know it's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. But Father, we need your help. We need your Holy Spirit to know what to say, when to say. And Father, just your favor. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd be working in their hearts and lives right now. So that their heart is prepared, that soil is prepared to receive the seed of the gospel, of that invite. And so, Father, we just lift that up to you, Father. We just pray for... since all of us have a little bit of chicken in us, we just pray for the boldness of your Holy Spirit, dear God, just that you would help us, just to give us the courage and the boldness that we need to represent you and to be your hands and to be your feet. We give you the thanks and the praise in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. We're going to close with that chorus, All Who Are Thirsty. Josh and Karen will be back there. Gary and Mary, can you help me out over here? And if you have a need or request, they will pray with you this morning. But just enter in and close with this chorus this morning.